Amen. Father, we just thank you for another wonderful evening with my brothers and sisters from all across the land. We just praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us. We thank you, Lord, for your glory upon everybody tonight, and that your spirit would lead us and guide us into the things that you'd have us to pray about. And Lord, we ask for your special touch upon Isaac tonight, that it would be an awesome, awesome message. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven. And when we pray, our prayers are always answered. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we know that the demons shudder and shake when this group gets together, because they know their time is short. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight in everybody here. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for bringing down, draining the swamp completely. And we praise you, Father, that you're doing that both in the church and in the government across the world. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Protect those truckers up in Canada and actually all over the world. The convoys of farmers and truckers and people from all walks of life coming together for freedom from the tyrannical types in the government. And we praise you for it, Father. Be with them, protect them, and give them wisdom, Lord, and place peace in their heart, not to come against them, just be as a protest. And we thank you for it, Lord. Father, we just ask and we pray that tonight will be special for everybody that comes in, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time with you, because we are going to be led by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Oh, Isaac, you might come on here pretty quick here. I don't know. People don't want to pray tonight. They want to listen to you. All right, Marissa, go ahead, girl.
Hey, everybody. I want to give a praise to the Lord and then also a prayer request. So I'm really thankful that I was listening on Tuesday, because I hadn't really been praying in the spirit in a long time. And it was such a good reminder of how important it is. And even just driving to work. So my work, every morning I have like a 30-minute commute, and I have to really like mentally, I feel like, prepare myself. And I feel like I'm always like trying to listen to like a Christian podcast or listening to like Christian music station or just something to just try and keep me like positive. And it's so crazy, because it was like Tuesday morning, I'd listened to like two or three podcasts and nothing was giving me peace. And, you know, the music I feel like can be kind of frustrating sometimes. And then after Tuesday, listening to everybody talk about how important it is to like pray in the spirit, Wednesday morning, the whole way I just started praying in the spirit, and I just felt like so much peace come over me. And it was just really encouraging. I feel like that's what I'm going to try and do from now on, just to try and, walk in the spirit during my job. And so I just want to like thank the Lord for giving me that peace. And, I'm thankful that I was able to find it in him and not in like other things. And then I have a prayer request. I would like you guys, if you could just like believe with me about, I've already talked with Geneva about it. We've prayed, like the spirit of fear and anxiety and, like condemnation and even like perfectionism, but like in the world's point of view, not in like Jesus's point of view. And just cause with my job, it's just really challenging. And so if you all would just believe with me that I don't have any more fear or anxiety, and that I just trust in the Lord more and have his peace and trust that he has me at this job for a reason and this time. You guys could just pray and believe with me for that. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, Father, you heard her request. We're going to believe with her. We're going to hook our faith up with Marissa and believe, Lord, that you're going to place her in the rest. She gets in that car in the morning. She's going to start talking to you in the spirit. You're going to pray through her, Lord, and the peace will just, that surpasses all understanding, will just engulf her for the rest of the day. And Father, we just praise you that you give her wisdom in her job to do it like you want her to do it. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you for not only wisdom, favor with the people there. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We believe it, Lord. We believe it with her. That she's going to have an awesome time from this point on because she's going to believe you and not what the demons are telling her. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to pray? All right, it's done. All right, Dave.
I'll pray with her too, just for a minute. Father, thank you for having Marissa come forward and presenting herself with the body. And Lord, you heard her requests. We're also coming up behind her and we're saying, Lord, remind her that she's in Christ now and she can feel your presence and she can cast down these vain imaginations that might come in her head so that she can take this world by the spirit, not by the flesh, the way she wants. Thank you, Father, for strengthening her with your spirit as she prays in the spirit. And Lord, continue to rely upon your promises. And that the more we pray in the spirit, the more faith we get. And we're more reminded about your faithfulness in our life to help us carry through these difficult times, especially when we're in trials and with other people at work. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm like the sister right here. Can you hear?
Yeah, go ahead, Wick. Yeah.
William, I don't think we met, but when you were praying, I heard you say one important because is vital. You said that, you know, because we do that, we do that. So
William, you're cutting way out, man. We can't even understand what you're saying. I don't know what the deal is, but it doesn't sound like you got enough bandwidth there. But go ahead, and we'll try to do it.
How's this?
Well, keep talking.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay. Because you were talking about instead of fighting, you know, because this, you know, praise and worship music is good and all that, because a lot of times what I'm learning to do is to turn inward because Christ is in us. So that I'm not always looking out here for, you know, to feel better. Anyway, Father, I lift the sister up to you, and I ask you to draw her deeper and deeper in Christ as you purify her, that you draw her soul deeper and deeper into your spirit, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. That as she detaches more and more from the outward things, that you bring her into the depths in the mind of Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, go ahead, Rhea.
Yeah, I think what Marissa said is really, it's really good, actually, because I think we all feel sometimes like that. And or it's, I think it's part of our walk is where even Christian podcasts or some Christian music is so watered down and it's so void of meat, you know, that it doesn't help anymore. It's kind of like you're growing, right? So I think it's a good thing. So I want to pray that for all of us to say that, Lord, we want to grow in you, and we want to not have any leaven that we listen to, even just because it says it's Christian music or Christian podcast. Sometimes, Lord, you give us your Holy Spirit to discern from what is too watered down or what is has got too much leaven. Or Lord, we just not enough meat for us. We want to grow in your word and have the pure, unleavened bread, Father. And I am grateful for all of us to have that gift of discerning, and pray that we all would have a yearning in our heart to only run after the pure truth. And we thank you for that, Father. Please put a desire in our heart to want to devour the word and the word only more and more. And thank you for opening up our ears to hear when the music we're listening to is not from you or has not been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that, Father. Lord, help us to run after you more and more. And the other thing, Father, is that we have a fear of you in us, Lord, that we would quiver at anything that would be remotely idolatrous or lascivious. And we thank you, Father, that we would have that, Lord, where we would just bow down only to you and to your word. And thank you, Lord, for putting that into Marissa's heart, because that's what we do when we pray in the Spirit, Father, is because we want to pray perfect praise that not even our flesh can dilute. We thank you for that, Lord, and I pray that for each one of us here. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Go ahead, Missy. Okay, she's wrestling right now. Go ahead, Theo, if you want to pray.
I'm sorry, I forgot. I had myself muted. I forgot to unmute. We have something to tell y'all. Tell them, Blakey, say, I'm going to be a big sissy.
Oh, all right.
Big sissy.
All right. Got just another monkey in the... Amen. Praise the Lord.
Probably October sometime.
That number probably. 3 for you?
Oh, watch. Okay.
I don't know what you put in that milk, but you need to slow down on it. She's just went... she's climbing the wall there.
Normally, I think she's excited about being on Grammy's bed, but anyway.
Oh,
thank you, Lord. Okay.
Amen.
Thanks.
All right. Anybody else? Well, glory to God. I do want to pray for one of the locals here. And I want y'all, everybody, to believe with me. Get right to you, Dirk. Let me pray for Judy. Judy, as y'all know, that comes on the conference calls occasionally from here. Father, I lift up Judy to you. Lord, we prayed for her this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, that you are completing the healing in her body. We thank you, Father, that there's no more pain, no more discomfort in her body at all, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for healing her, that foul demon of arthritis, away from her. We know it's gone. And we thank you, Lord, for healing whatever happened to her when she fell the other day. And we thank you, Father, that she is completely healed. By the stripes of Jesus, demon, you have to go. By the stripes of Jesus, pain, you have to go. All discomfort, go. The blood of Jesus moves you out right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you that Judy is completely healed, delivered, and set free from this foul spirit of pain in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. She is completely healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all believe that with me? Glory to God. Glory to God. It is done. Judy, be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, brother.
All right. Go ahead, Dirk.
I have a prayer request as well as a praise report I want to share. A friend that we have here, she originally volunteered with Paula at the old age home. She has a brother. He stayed here in this town for a long time. He's a chef, but he's been battling with his feet for quite a while. And he, underneath, I'm not sure if it was both feet or just, I think it's just the one, he had a big hole that just started getting larger and larger and it never went away. He had treatment a while back and there was like a hard spot. And that caused... was like an irritation, and the lady that treated him, she I'm not sure what she did, but that turned into a big hole and he couldn't walk. It was, I'm not sure, it was for a very long time, and it got to a stage where they wanted to amputate the foot. And his name, let me just say his name is Chris Van Sale, and he is a believer. And they informed us about that. And we got together, we said, no, we don't accept that report that they want to amputate his foot. So we got together with Chris and for a prayer meeting. And we shared the gospel with him. And he also, as the Lord led, forgave where he had to forgive and cleaned his heart. And we just prayed with him. And now that was a couple of weeks ago. And Paula saw his sister again. And we had the report that that hole has miraculously closed up. He's completely healed.
Hallelujah.
So that's amazing. We just want to say thank you, Father, for that. And it's a miracle. So... That's awesome. And what I want to pray, ask for prayer for him as well. He's because of the long time that he couldn't walk, the bone of the foot, they say it's brittle, but we don't accept that. So we just want to have agreement that that bone will be strengthened and grow normally, and that Chris will be soon able to walk normally again. But that's amazing that that whole, yeah, from where the doctors wanted to amputate the foot, that is closed. It's closed up after all these years. And his sister also said that she had a dream now recently where he is walking again. So we just want to believe with that. So if you can pray with us for, sure, for that complete healing.
Amen. Well, Father, we lift up Chris to you. Lord, we just praise you for granting repentance to him and bringing him into the kingdom. Not only that, but healing him all at the same time. That's an awesome, awesome testimony that you've given him. And Father, we thank you that his foot is already healed. And we praise you, Father, that it is. And we thank you, Lord, that he'll be walking normal. Right now, Chris, you walk normal. In the name of Jesus, and we command strength in that foot. We command the muscles to work like it's supposed to, the tendons to work like it's supposed to, and the bones to do what they're supposed to do too. Ankle, you be healed. Foot, you be healed. Leg, you be healed. Chris, you be healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that he is completely a complete man now with his walking, talking Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we thank you for making a great mighty evangelist out of him that walks around and talks Jesus to everybody he sees in Jesus' name, because he's got a wonderful testimony that you've given him, Lord. Thank you, Father. Y'all believe that? I do. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, Father.
Amen. We're looking for the good report, Dirk.
Amen, definitely. Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Well, well, well. Yeah, Missy.
Related to Blake's announcement that she's going to be a big sissy. There's two pregnant people I want to pray for, and that's Brooke and her sister-in-law. Earlier this week, I found out that Brooke had taken the first two jabs. And that was back in November. And we prayed in the morning prayer meeting, I believe it was Tuesday, that Brooke would not have any effects from this. It would not prevent her from getting pregnant. And so, Father, I just thank you and praise you for answering the prayers, Lord. And also for Tori that's pregnant. She had the first two vaccines, but she's pregnant now, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for your mercy and your grace upon them, that they would have healthy pregnancies, that there are no ill effects from this whatsoever. And that both the babies would be perfectly fine when they're born. And I just praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that for granting them repentance for having done this, Lord, when they find out how bad it really is. You know, I know they will find that out eventually and they'll realize your mercy and your grace, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for doing that for them, that Lord, that they, through all this craziness that's going on in this world, Lord, that you'll draw them to yourself, Lord, and grant them repentance, Lord, and that they will know that you are their savior in all things, Lord, that they don't need to fear man, they don't need to fear anything but you, Lord, and trust in you to save them in everything, in Jesus' name. Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for purifying her body for that baby as she comes on with it. In Jesus' name. Hi, Michelle. Good to have you on.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have, for your spirit-filled night tonight, one of the greatest expositors of the Word of God coming forth tonight. He has graced us with his presence. And we thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon Isaac. Lord, we thank you for his wonderful message tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your angel stand around about him and your spirit guide him wherever you want him to go, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for clarity, wisdom, and the word of God coming out of it in Jesus' name. You got it, Isaac. Go ahead, brother.
All right. Can you guys hear me? Hey, all right, that's good. That's a good sign. let me just kind of get this set up real quick here. Here we go. That's not what I wanted to do. There we go. Okay. Well, let me just start off. Really thankful to be here. Really, I'm really excited about being part of this body and the maturity that's here. You know, I really feel one of the biggest miracles of my life have been to be able to receive the truth, to be able to receive the real truth. And that's, it's amazing that this could happen to me. And I've always felt that way. And also for grace. And I'm really excited about that. And I'm really thankful that our Father loves us. Well, let me start with this. You know how when Jesus, that the apostle said, teach us how to pray. And he said, well, pray like this. And I'm kind of paraphrasing, so bear with me. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I got to thinking about that one day. And I thought, you know, it's really important to give thanksgiving to God. And this is not what my message is about. I just want to say this getting into it. It's real important to give thanksgiving to God in every situation. And I noticed, I was thinking about this today. A lot of times I just go straight into a prayer about anything, just living life and say, oh, Lord, I need this. Or Lord, do this in me and blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever. And I want to praise his holy name. You know, I want to praise, you know, the creator of the universe. And I want to start off with giving God thanksgiving. And so what I'm going to do here, and hang with me as I work with this, you know, trying to get this a little bit organized. But first, I'm going to start off with Psalms 92. I just want to read that kind of like a hymn, how some of the, everybody here is kind of, or some have sang their hymns. I want to just read a scripture in Psalms and just, you know, agree with me, believe it, let it be a praise to you and the Lord. Because that's how I'm going to read it, you know. And it's Psalms 92, and it headlines, pray for Jehovah's goodness, or praise for Jehovah's goodness. It is a good thing to give thanks unto Jehovah and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night with an instrument of 10 strings and with a psaltery, with a psalm sound upon the heart. For thou, Jehovah, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. How great are thy works, O Jehovah! Thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, O Jehovah, art on high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Jehovah, for lo, thy enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil. My eyes have seen my desire on my enemies. My ears have heard my desire of the evildoers that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They shall plant in the house of Jehovah. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and green to show that Jehovah is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And moving on from that, I also want to read Psalms 105. And this one's a really good one that I come across some time ago. And it's really true. It's Jehovah's wonderful works in the behalf of Israel. And when I've read that, I try to think of the things he's done for me. You know, whether it been getting me out of jail, whether it had been, you know, healings, telling me things beforehand, giving me this gospel, you know, to receive the truth, just all these wondrous works in my life. And I'm going to read this one too. And you guys just think of what God has done for y'all. And, you know, and just meditate on that. So we should always want to meditate on what God has done for us. You know, and you'd be surprised that that'll build your faith, going back to what he did for you and what he's brought you through and what he's bringing you into, you know, into the image of Christ. So Psalms 105, oh, give thanks to Jehovah. Call upon his name, make known among the peoples his doings, Sing to him, sing praises to him, talk ye of his marvelous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Jehovah. Seek ye Jehovah in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders in the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Jehovah our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, their covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, why give thee the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and sojourners in it. And they went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yet he reproved kings for their sakes. Touch not mine anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. And he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them. Joseph was sold for a servant. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron until the time that his word came to pass. The word of Jehovah tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of peoples, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he increased his people greatly, and he made them stronger than their adversaries. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, Aaron, whom he had chosen. They set among them his signs and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his words. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land swarmed with frogs in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all the borders. He gave them hail for rain, flaming fire in the land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and break the trees of their borders. He spake, and the locust came, and the grasshopper, and that without number, and did eat up every herb in the land, and did eat up all the fruit of the ground. He smote also the firstborn in the land, the chief of all their strength, and he brought them forth with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for covering, and fire to give light in the night. They asked, and he brought quails, and satisfied them with bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river, for he remembered his holy word, Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy, his chosen with singing, and he gave them the lands of nations. And they took labor of the people in possession, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise ye Jehovah. Well, that's just a really good chapter, and I know it seems kind of hard, like it might be a little bit harsh, but I think about it and all the things he's done for me, because I want to remember what he's done for me. You know, I don't ever want to forget. Anyways, so I'm gonna say a prayer, then we're gonna move on with this thing. So here we go. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you let me be part of this. And Lord, bless these words, Father, that be an oracle of you. And it's not I live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters. Bless them all. In Jesus' name, amen. So originally, I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And I know Michael, he brought this up in like December. And I was thinking, well, I felt like immediately, oh, I know what I'm going to talk about. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is the thing I'm most familiar with. And I feel like the Lord changed my heart on that. And what that originally was going to be was the law, because that is something that I have been extremely persecuted by. That is also something that I was in. And I thought, yeah, that's what it's going to be. Well, I felt the Lord just kind of put on my heart thinking, well, you don't know if everybody's ready. You don't know that. You know, this is a good opportunity to bring about unity in the body, right? Ephesians chapter 4, this is a good chance for you, you know, to make it less about you and just maybe talk about something that can bless everybody, something that's more important than that. And thank God, I was, you know, very receptive. I was like, yeah, okay, makes sense. And I even asked Lord to give me a dream because I didn't really know. I knew I was going to kind of talk about the body, but I didn't really know 100%. And I had a dream because I asked Lord to kind of show me. And in the dream, there was Michael. And I said, Michael, what do you think about the law? Should I talk about it? And Michael looked at me, just real quick dream. He goes, are you sure everybody's ready for that? That was it. And that was a dream. Well, I knew. And now I know there's a lot of maturity here. I get that. I just don't happen to know everybody. And I want it. And when we're in the body, we should focus on unity. Let's find common ground here, right? Let's find things that we can all agree on and worship the Lord with. And so the Lord gave me a pretty good subject. But before I go on to this subject, let me just say one more thing about the law. When I was real persecuted about the law, I used to read the Bible and read the Bible hard about it, you know, about what that included and how we're brought under it as a church. And I had a dream then. This was like 2009, maybe 2010. I don't know. I had a dream then because my in-laws were really hard on me to the point to where I was called names and things. And I didn't know how to shed that stuff back then. And so I had a dream where I said, well, I'm going to show them. I'm going to read it right to them. So in my dream, I opened the Bible. They're sat in front of me. And I started reading. I started trying to read, but I didn't know how to read no more. I lost my ability to read, and I couldn't even get like done. And I was like, and I was looking at them. I was like, and I did not know how to read because it wasn't their time. It wasn't their time. There will be a time when we'll all be, when people will be humbled and they'll be able to accept it. So moving on from that, the subject tonight is about love and the body. And that's a really good, really good topic, I believe. And honestly, 30 minutes is a lot. Like it's humbling to be in front of you guys and talking about these things. And not only is it humbling because I don't think of myself in these ways, but thank God. But at the same time, I was also humbled because I'll be honest with you guys. I don't know if I knew 30 minutes of anything to keep talking. Seriously. I'm telling the truth. And it showed me in this process that, well, Isaac, you need to get more word in you. You need to learn more. You know, you need to get that word in you. You know, in the John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then John 1:14, and the word was made flesh. And I want more Christ and less of Isaac. And so when you see, it's so easy, you know, you go to podcasts and you go to YouTube and you hear these people speaking, you know, whether it be David or Michael, and they're just flowing. Obviously it's a gift, you know, it really is. And it's given, you know, man can receive nothing unless it's God, come from above. And the thing is, but that's not as easy as it seems, man. Granted, the flowing the gift. I mean, they've been given knowledge. And this taught me I got to dive a little deeper and a little more often. So I'm humbled in that regard. And I just, it's just, you know, whether I never talk again on here, it doesn't matter. But for me, I need to know, right? Okay. So moving on, let's get to it. So, John 13, this is something I think I was back home when I was reading this. And John 13 is a really good example of the body. I got to pull up my notes here, so bear with me as I kind of go back and forth. I don't want to read these notes verbatim because that's just no fun. But I'm going to read John 13 to you guys. And so if you see me wait, pause for a minute, go back and forth, just know I'm trying to get this figured out. So let me start here. And I'm going to kind of make side notes to what the Lord showed me within John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, let me stop real quick. This is about love in the body. So I want to restate that. So we're going in here understanding. So John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's really powerful. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came forth from God and goeth unto God, riseth from supper and layeth aside his garments. And he took a towel and girded himself, then poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he cometh to Simon Peter, and saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answers to him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt understand hereafter. Peter says to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is bathed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. And this is important. For he knew him that should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. And you see that right there? That's a really good example of the body. The body wasn't all the way clean yet, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And we're getting purged in these days, okay? And he's going to purge the body. Now, my point for this is not to talk about Judas. It's not that at all. But to talk about what love or lack of love does within the body. And I'm going to start here because I want to bring it around to nature and the nature of love and what it is. So anyways, let me just check my notes here real quick. Yeah, and if you look at Ephesians 5:27 about verses 10 and 11, it says this, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So to prove the point of the body being clean. So moving on, verse 12. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done? You call me teacher and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you example, they should also do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither one that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. Now, we'll come back to that too, about him saying, about as a servant is not greater than the teacher. We'll come back to that. But he didn't say you couldn't be like him and be in the image of the teacher, because how many proteges have a mentor and are an example of the mentor? You know, they're trained in that way. But to move on, let me catch up my notes here. Bear with me. I appreciate you guys. Okay. So verse 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture may be filled. He that eateth my bread lifted up his heel against me. Well, that's a prophecy. You can actually see that in Psalms 41:9. So you can go back and see that for yourself. I'll just read it because I have it right here. Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. pretty cool to see all these prophecies be fulfilled in the Bible, but we like to say these are side notes and we'll get to our points. From henceforth, I tell you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth you, or he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit, and testified, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Disciples looked one another, doubting of whom he spake. There was at the table, reclining in Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter. Therefore, beckoneth to him, and saith to him, tell us who it is whom he speaketh. He, leaning back, as he was, on Jesus' breast, saith to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus therefore answereth, he it is for whom I shall dip the sop. Now, if you've listened to David talk about the sop, S-O-P, son of perdition, that's a really great revelation. It's an amazing revelation. So it's just basically, you know, it proves the point. You know, it's like an axiom. I think that's right. But S-O-P, son of perdition. Now, here's something the Lord showed me, too. Basically, that if you look here, he it is whom I shall dip the sop and give it to him. So when he dip the sop, he takes and gives to Judas. So I'm scary. Okay, before I go on to 27. So I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, the sop, yeah, son of perdition. Okay. And I was thinking, what is sop? And I looked it up, and if I'm pronouncing it, Greg, you might have to, you know, check me on my pronunciation. It's terrible. But I think it's somion, and it's a crumb or morsel. Think about that. He betrayed and sold out the true bread, the manna from heaven. Manna in Hebrew, you know, is the word man. It's spelled man. He sold the true bread for a morsel of a bread, for a piece of bread. He sold the whole truth for only a piece of the truth. You see that? And that's what happens. And how much of that is happening within the churches now? Now, I'm not here to bash them. I'm just saying they sell. They sell it for currency. They sell it for money. And you only get a morsel. Because as John chapter 6 talks about, that true bread out of heaven, they sold away. And to even go on a little further on that, to dip the sop. But what does dip mean? So we dip the sop, right? Well, to baptize and to dip are two different things. Dip is bapto. Now I looked and found baptized in the Greek, and it was baptizo. And they were different. Bapto, which is dip, is to whelm, to stain. So not only do they take a morsel of bread, but they take a stained morsel of bread. Okay. And that's what, that is what Judas received. And I'm going to show you there's a nature to those who will receive that and those who won't. And we'll all get to that. Just hang with me, folks. Anyways. So that's what he did. He sold the true bread out of heaven for a morsel of bread, that which was stained, right? Okay. And after the sop, then entered Satan into him. Now, that's pretty cool, too. Let's go back to 26. Jesus therefore answered, he it is for whom I shall dip the sop and give it to him. So when he had dipped the sop, he take and give it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the sop, then entered Satan to him. Now, that's the power, Jesus says. After I give him the sop, boom, then it happened. He's got the authority, man. He's given it above heaven and on earth. I mean, he's got all the authority. And you know what? Thank God we get to have that nature and be in his image. That's pretty powerful. And moving on to 28 now. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, buy what things we have need of for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, receiving the sop, went out straightway, and it was night. Now, think about that. He went out straightway, and it was night after he did that. Walking in darkness, right? Because those who take that stained morsel of bread and sell out the true bread, right, for gain, walk in darkness. And that portrays that. Okay. And going on 31 here. When therefore he was gone out, Jesus saith, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now, if you go back to, let me catch up my notes here. If you go back on, I think it was, 10, he said, you are all clean, but not all. And then right after Judas walked out, then was the Son of Man glorified. And you see how your purity, and when there is no leaven, how the body can be glorified. Now, the Lord still worketh with me on this one. And folks, if you see that I've missed something, please let me know. And you might as well just say it out here when you can, because the reason for that is it's better for the body to be correct than incorrect. And I don't want to teach anything incorrect. And I will not even be upset about it. Trust me, I really mean it from the bottom of my heart. Thank God, but there's no offense, and I've cast down offense. Satan has nothing in me, just as Jesus said. Remember that? Anyway, so I think, and I'm paraphrasing, I think the prince of the world is here, or is coming, and he has nothing in me. And that was something the Lord showed me to quote today, and hallelujah for that. Anyways, so when therefore he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And God shall glorify him in himself, and straightway he shall glorify him. And so if you look, before he even got put to the cross yet, and I think it is, 15? Yeah, in John chapter 15, verse 3, he said, already are you clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. So they were clean. The apostles were clean once Judas removed. And now I know you might say, well, Peter didn't deny him. Right. But Jesus cleansed his feet, which was his walk. And he only knew what he knew at that present moment. And God was still doing a work in him. God was still growing him into the image. I mean, even so much that the shadow of Peter healed some, right? That there's light, that there was light in Peter. And if there was no darkness in his shadow, it was light. And so that's what's awesome, right? Pretty cool stuff. So, and he says this, little children, verse 33, yet a little while I'm with you, you shall seek me. And I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give. This is so important. Please listen here. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Okay, that's pretty awesome. And I'm going to get back to that, but I want to finish this chapter first, okay? So, 36, Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me. Thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee even now? I will lay down my life for thee. Jesus answered, wilt thou lay down thy life for me? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Okay. And I don't want to beat up on Peter, because, something I realize is that, he had the faith to walk on the water, and sure, he may have sung, but, he did that. And, Christ led him, and Christ did it in him, and did a work in him, and perfected it. But the thing is, I was thinking about that too. I was like, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I actually have chickens and I have a rooster. And, they're going to acknowledge the Son. They're going to acknowledge the Son. You may not, but they will. Okay. And the thing is, I mean, you may not. You folks will, thank God. I'm saying others may not. But he's going to. And there may be more to that. I don't know. The Lord hasn't given to me yet, but I believe revelation. And, and I was even looking, well, was it around that time of the day when that happened? And let me just see here. So if you go to Matthew, just to prove that point, if you go to Matthew 26, 74 and 75, then this is when Peter denied him. Then began he to curse and swear, I know not the man. And straightway the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, that was the end of Matthew chapter 26. And the very beginning of Matthew chapter 27 states this. Now, when the morning was come, and all the chief priests and elders, the people took counsel against Jews to put him to death. so that it proves in the morning. And this actually happens in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. So we can go Mark right here. And straightway the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word and how Jesus said to him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And that was the end of Mark 14. And the very beginning of Mark 15 says, and straightway in the morning, the chief priests, the elders and scribes, and the whole council held a consultation. Okay. About the morning. And then if you go Matthew, Mark, Luke says, Luke 22, 61, 62, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he sent him, for the cock crow this day, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went away and wept bitterly. And as soon as it was day, the assembly of the elders, people gathered together, right? And then in John, you actually, it says right here, then Peter therefore denied again, and straightway the cock crew. And they led Jesus therefore from Caiaphas to Petrium, or Praetorium, and it was early. So I really wanted to prove the point, because I didn't want to just, you know, put that out there. But it happens in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I think that, listen, every knee's going to bow, and they'll all confess the name of Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, being I got that kind of said, and I read it, and I had all these little side notes, I want to talk about love. Okay, because that's what's important in these days. And, you know, Judas wasn't the example of love. And you say, well, how important is love? I've heard this message before. I've heard love message all the time. Michael, how am I doing on time, man?
You just start. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, man. I'm going to try to wrap this up. I want to get some people some time to talk. But anyways, so the thing about, I've heard this message 100 times, love, love, love. And unfortunately to me, I guess I didn't take it to heart as much as I should have. And the Lord taught me a lot about love through this message. And I also had my own persecutions to produce love. And I'm thankful it all happened. But now look, the thing is, Jesus says here in 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I love you, that you also love one another. Okay? So the thing about love is this. Love covers the multitude of sins. And in these days, people are going to come out of the churches, out of the leaderships that haven't really fed them. And they're going to come in and they're going to see this truth. And they may see, and we're going to be there to help them. However, the Lord's going to do it. But he may use us and they may come in. And we got to remember, they can only handle so much. You give, if you know, some people have faith for vegetables, some people have faith for meat. And I've made the mistake before. I've put in too much revelation on somebody and they couldn't receive it. They weren't ready for it. I've been there. And I know the Lord has shown me that he's going to grow these people at their rate, at his timing, right? They're going to manifest Christ too. And we always have to remember that sometimes, you know, it's best just to hold back. First of all, be led by the Spirit, but hold back, hold your tongue, and let the Lord do a work in them, okay? And you'll see it. And it will be a bigger witness to you too. But anyways, and I was listening to David Eales, one of his podcasts, and it's God's Children Are Loved Too. I don't know how many of you guys listen to it, but it's amazing. Really listen to it, okay? Because that's what love is. It's nature. It's your nature, right? And let me pull something up. Bear with me as I'm going through these notes here. Let me just do this. Yeah, here we go. So when I ask the question, how is love nature? Well, nature in Greek is the word phusis, meaning growth by germination or expansion, origin or birth. And 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, right? And so, you know, we've all heard time and time again, you know, let me find it here, I have in the very bottom. I apologize for not having these verses memorized. Well, let me just give me a second. Yeah, here we go. We've heard this one, we've read it before, and I've always wondered kind of what it meant, and I'll explain after I read it. In Matthew 7:15-23, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, or inwardly or ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or fig of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast to the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you, depart from you, who work for workers of iniquity. Now that's a pretty bold statement. That's pretty scary. I think you might agree. And I have something here about that. Now, the thing about that is he never knew them. He didn't know their nature, right? Now, we know the name of the Lord is a name is a noma, nature, character, and authority. And the nature of God is love. You know, I just read that. And that was basically right here. And I'll read it again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is son of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. You know, and so the thing is, we have his nature. Hey, can y'all still hear me? My headphones just did something. Hang on.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, cool. Thank you. So, so the thing is, we need that nature of love, right? And let me just kind of go back and try to find this here. I apologize. Hang with me. Well, anyways, just to move on. So God is love. And Jesus is love. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus laid down his life. And I want to explain something here too. And I can show you how much Jesus laid down his life and how we ought to, you know, really humble ourselves and love those to be part of the body. Because being part of the body, you know, is being loved. And it says this in, Philippians 2:5-8. Had this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being of equality with a good thing to be, with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. And that's pretty, that's a lot of humbleness there, you know, to come to step down, become a servant for us. And then Ephesians 4:9. Now this, he ascended. What is it that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? And I thought about that. And that's him again, stepping down, you know, stepping it down out of heaven to do that for us, to be a, to show us, you know, what love is. And the thing is, I'll say something that might sound a little controversial. But if you listen to what, that message I put out there for David, I'll put a link out there for David's podcast, and I think you'll enjoy it, but you'll hear him say it himself. And that's where I got it from. When he was talking about love and the nature of Christ, he said, He said he even thinks that love is more important than faith, because without love, you can't respect faith. You can't respect the gifts, and you can't respect peoples. And the thing about, you know, when we talk about, I never knew you, when Jesus said that, and he said, depart from me, workers of iniquity. Sure, they did the gifts, and they had the gifts, and we ought to desire the gifts. That's what the word says. But the gifts are there to be manifested with love for the needs of meeting the body. And so what Christ is looking for is that nature, right? That nature and character and authority, that name of Christ in us, okay? And if you look at Judas, and I can give you an example of how he didn't have the love, and that's in John 12, 3 and 6. I like to say my point is not to talk about him so much, but just talk about in these end days, when we see people come out into this body, we ought to be focusing on love and grace. That's what we should really be doing. And the Lord will give you the words to say. You'll know because you'll be led by the Spirit. Let me put it that way. But everything should be done through love. And in John 12, 3, 6, it says, Mary therefore took a pound of ointment of pure nard, very precious, and went to the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples that should betray him, saith, why was not this ointment sold for 300 shillings and given to the poor? Now this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and having the bag, took away that what was put in therein. And you notice this is something else that dawned on me. One, he didn't care for the poor. He just cared for the possessions. Now, notice he put the nard on his feet. In Ephesians 5:12, it says, be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell. Walk in love, right? If you walk in love and you walk into the image and you walk as in the image of Christ and you walk in love, that's going to be an odor of a sweet smell. Notice how she put the nard on Jesus' feet, right? That was an odor of a sweet smell to God because he was love. Now, I want to explain something about, I want to read a verse to you guys about, I'm going to try to wrap this up. Bear with me. I really apologize. I didn't think I could. I thought this can go over real quick, but, you know, we're going to knock it out real quick. So here we go. Just to prove my point about maybe some of those who may be that when these days are upon us and they need, and they've been humbled because what's come upon the world and the judgments on the world, they may be young. And they're going to require growth, but God will grow them, and he'll give you the word to speak, and whatever it is, and the gifts to do it, to meet the provisions, all done in love. But Songs of Solomon 8, 7, and 10 is pretty good concerning that, you know, maturity and immaturity and even love. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. You know, I don't think the curse can drown love. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be contemned. We have a little sister, and she hath no breast. I think this is talking about the immature. Those that maybe haven't, it can be any reason. You know, I was at one point, and the Lord's still growing me. He's still perfecting a good work in me. So believe me, because he who began the work in me will perfect it today, Jesus Christ. She goes on to say, and she hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, will we build her up with a turret of silver? And if she be a door, will we enclose her with boards of cedar? You know, cedar is resistant to weather. And notice in the very beginning, it said many waters will not quench love, neither can floods drown it. So, you know, she'll be enclosed with boards of cedar, resistant to the floods, resistant to the wall, and will be used for that, all through love. I am a wall, and my breasts are like the towers thereof. Then was I in his eyes, one that found peace. So you see a good portrayal of the immature and the mature, and how the mature in Christ will help grow them up, grow these people up to be part of the bride. Now, anyways, and a few more things about love, because when you listen to David talk about it, and God's children are loved too, number one, number two, he goes on to talk about this in his 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profit me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth for the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. So let me stop here. I've had to find a way to produce, show love. You know, like I told you about the dream where I wanted to show my in-laws the truth. I wasn't the right timing. But you know what? I don't talk to them about the law. They're deep under it. Don't talk to them about it. Because the Lord's going to deliver them. And he's going to do it on his way. And they're going to come into the kingdom. I know it, and I know it, that I know it. But there's going to be a humbling. And when people are humble and these judges come, then they'll say, well, now what were you talking about? What about that? I can't do my part to be under the law no more because I'm not even allowed to be part of the world. Well, let me show you this. There is freedom in Christ. He who set free is free indeed. And you know you're born of the free woman? And that's going to be love, but it's got to be at the right time. You know? And that's pretty exciting. Anyways, I want to read a few verses just real quick of what love is. And then I'm going to be done. So let me just read these verses and I'll let y'all have at it. Because I actually missed a lot of my notes. Dude, this is a lot harder than what it seems like. So 1 Corinthians 8, 1, 3. Now I have notes and it has all these verses and everything on it. I can send it out to Michael and he can send it to you guys if you want it. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. If any man thinketh that he knoweth anything, he knoweth not as he ought to know. But if any man loveth God, the same is known by him. If any man loveth God, the same is known by him. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. If any man loveth God, the same is known by him. Now God first loved us, and that's why we can love him. And if we have that nature of Christ, we'll be the same as known by him in us. Because we'll have that image of Christ. We'll have that nature of Christ. Because it's an apple. If a tree doesn't have fruit on it, and it's the middle of winter, but it's a fruit tree and you're in a vineyard, how are you going to know what it is? It's like fruit is almost evidence of the tree, right? Just think about that. Anyways, Matthew 7, 15, 23. That's the one I read about beware of false prophets. Let me move on. 1 Corinthians 13, 12, and 14, just verses of love. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized in one body. For the Jews or Greeks, for the bond of free, we're all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not a member, the body is not one member, but many. Sorry, that was the body verse in these love verses I'm trying to show you. 1 John 4, 7, 13. Beloved, love us, love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is begotten of God. It's so important to be part of this body. We're going to need to love, be begotten of God. So everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man hath beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we abide in him and he in us because he hath given us his spirit. Ooh, that's important. Wow, that love is pretty cool, man. Thank God for it. And now, let me find here. 1 John 3:14-16. 1 John is pretty good. If you want to read that about love, pretty good. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and yet ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. See that? Those with the law, those under the law are not under the law. Faith working in love. He's going to bring them together. He's going to unify that body, and they're going to be unblemished. And they're going to be the bride of Christ, you know, and that's what's going to happen. We're all going to do this in love. Okay. And here's something real important. I think I'll just finish up here and say one more thing in John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and want to manifest myself unto him. Now remember, in 13:34, he told him this very specific thing right after Judas left the body, after he went out and sold the true bread out of heaven for a stained morsel, right? You know, so 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I love you, that you also love one another. What an important commandment. I don't really have much more to say. I apologize. I was kind of struggling a lot harder than what it looks like, but I just really felt like this. I felt like this was the time to, I needed to do this for me, because I'm also learning in this, and I've had many opportunities to not have love, especially before this week of giving this message. I had many trials, and thank God he brought me through them. And thank God every time I felt, whether it be offense or anything, I cast it down and I cast it down. So I was really thankful that this message was able to teach me so much, because I honestly didn't know that it was some hatred. You know, I didn't know until I was listening to David, and I can post a link for you guys. But I know that before, years ago, I would read the Bible because I was looking for the error of other people's ways. And, you know, David said something else about that. Those who read the Bible for error receive error. So I want, you know, when I read it, I also want the truth, but I want that nature, right? I want his nature. And so I just hope that helps. It's very important. And in these days, I believe here coming soon, we're going to see a revival, right? That repentance revival we talked about. Anyways, I know we've all heard this message before, but just, it's so important, you know, have the nature of Christ. And I love you guys. Thanks for hanging in with me. Just know this, I need it too. And, you know, by the grace of God, we got it. Thanks.
Amen. Isaac, you seem like you were at home when you were teaching that there. That's good. That's good. Go ahead. Is that Justin or Lacey?
Oh, it's Justin. Mike, how's it going?
Going great, brother.
Good. Hey, Isaac, man, nice job. Seriously, you did great. And just to put yourself out there and be vulnerable to the whole congregation. I mean, this congregation is full of love, all right? And you did such a good job. And I wanted to say, whenever you said this, it's gonna sound wild, but whenever you said something about the rooster crowing, man, it just hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, because what was made through him will acknowledge him, right? And so it even made me think of even the rocks will cry out, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
And so, oh man, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Hey, man, love you, buddy. Thank you.
Love you.
Hey, you're up next, Justin, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I am.
Okay. Yeah, it was awesome. I thought, anybody else got a comment or question, anything about what Isaac? Yes, Julie, here it comes. Be ready, Isaac.
I was blessed, and I'm sure everyone listening, whether currently or recording, is going to feel the same way. One thing that was coming to me about love and how the Lord emphasized so much to love one another. And that's, you know, love is, it's way up there, you know, and our sin nature is so contrary to that because it's all about me, 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 me. But when you read in 2 Peter, where it talks about to adding unto your faith and all those things, I think that's where it's at. In your, okay, say in this very cause, add into your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if you do these things, for if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I always looked at that, like the order in which it was listed, you know, and that's who God is. He is love. And that's what we want to attain to. And it's not an instantaneous thing. It is a growth thing, how God changes our heart to love and obey. And that the fullness of, we will, and on first, in Ephesians 3, the prayer that Paul gave us, you know, he prayed for us and gave us to pray, you know, that we would know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, you know, how much higher can you get, you know? So we're all in that. I think we're all learning to be obedient in love. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for sharing that, everything you did.
Amen. I don't know who was next. I'm just going to go down the line. Go ahead, Sammy.
I'll be as quick as I can. Thank you, Isaac. Thank the Lord always. I felt something straight away where Jesus came back and they were all scattered and they saw him leave to go prepare a place for us. But they all then grouped together out of love. They knew Jesus was going away, but he came together for fellowship and grouping together. And the big part about it was they did it daily. They sought the Lord continually in the upper room, and it just built and built them all up. They just kept on at it, you know. Just felt that and wanted to share that. And we thank the Lord for this wonderful teaching.
Amen. It was good. Go ahead, Rion or Claire.
It's Claire. Thank you so much, Isaac. That was really lovely.
Yeah, thanks.
We really enjoyed the teaching, and we actually listened to that specific teaching of David's quite a lot, you know, that God's children are loved too. And you won't believe it, for the longest time it wouldn't work. Whenever I'd listen to it, like way back, and then probably about 5 years ago, I tried to listen to it again and it just wouldn't work. And then eventually one day I just prayed. I'm like, Lord, you know I need this message. And it just started playing again. And so I've been able to listen to it a few more times. But what I wanted to say was that it's amazing how the body works, right? And that's the most beautiful thing, is that the body is so healthy and it works, because you've got this amazing teaching and I got this really cool dream. And I won't go into all of it. I just want to say this, is that the end of the dream, Rihanna and I were busy cleaning a room, and we were just like, the room was so clean, but we just kept on cleaning and cleaning. And there were all these younger folks who were kind of waiting to come into the room, and two of these characters stood out. They were young girls, and one was dressed like almost like a Halloween costume, and the other girl just looked like a dead corpse, but like a corpse bride kind of thing. And they just really wanted to get in the room, and they kept on telling us things like, oh, you know, we're in UBM, or, you know, stuff like that. Like, we're part of UBM. And they kept on saying these things. And eventually Rian said, well, go out. And I went out and I heard them, and they wanted to show me how they do deliverance. And they started doing some really odd sort of like ninja stuff. And I just started crying. And I went back into the room and I helped Rian clean this room up some more. And anyway, then they kind of knocked on the window and they're like, we need you. And I said, I've really got to clean. I'm sorry, I'll be with you in a second. I've really got to clean. And they just turned around and they got offended and they said, that's not very loving. And I just like I woke up and I felt so almost like deflated. And I said to the Lord, you know, I didn't know how to love them the way they wanted to be loved. I only knew how to clean. Like I only knew this process of sanctification. And he was saying to me, like, that's the, and believe me, I'm like, I've got so much to clean, right? And I mean that spiritually as well as physically, but so I'm not saying that I've arrived or anything yet, but I'm just saying that we are on this walk and we are so entrenched in sanctification and we're so entrenched in being so thankful for the trials and almost wanting them so that we can become more holy. But these people that are coming in or that are waiting, like they've got no idea what godly love looks like. They just know the apostate love or the fleshly love. And so the true love of Christ is that agape love, you know, like being ready to lay down your life for a friend. But also Christ had phileo love for his disciples. He really did love them. He walked with them for a long time. They were his friends. And so I think that like what the Lord was showing me, and that is that we need both of those things to love those that are going to be coming in. And then I received this as a confirmation, which was Psalm 71, verse 24, which says, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all day long, for they are put to shame, for they are confounded that seek my hurt. And, you know, we just keep praising the Lord and doing what you did in the beginning of your sharing time, like the rest will flow, won't it? And it was just such a wonderful confirmation. I hope I haven't taken up too much time, but I just wanted to bless you with that because I know you get a few dreams from the Lord as well. And it, you know, it's just wonderful how he works it all together.
If I might add real quick, Michael, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I appreciate all you guys, really do. You know, when Jesus or when Peter denied him three times, I want to show this is something the Lord showed me. Think about the graciousness of our Lord. He gave him three more opportunities to confess him also. He said, you know, think about that. And, you know, there's two different words of love used in that. If you look at the Greek, I actually have them, but I won't go into it. I'll get on moving Pat and Greg. But, yeah, look into that too. He made him confess two different types of love. I don't have it memorized. I apologize. But that is – it's so true and, you know, awesome. Awesome revelation and dream you had, actually. Thank you. And Claire agree on him and say.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, that was awesome, Isaac. I appreciate that. It's not funny, but it's interesting that when you start talking about love, and it's almost like emotion or on the verge of tears, you know, welling up in me as you're talking about that love and the nature of Christ and coming from him. And when you were talking about it kind of hit me. I don't know, one of those things, a little bit different thought related to it, but is that love, the nature of love that is being, that the Lord is developing within us is the actual, that which motivated Jesus in all of his actions, from the just his responses to the I think of the woman that came in while he was at dinner and humbled herself and was washing his feet with her tears, and the said, you know, the Pharisees around him were responding in such a disgusted way, and yet his response to her was that of love and acceptance and just being able and knowing that it is that very love. It's the very same love that he told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. He knew it was going to happen. And he loved Peter enough to tell him that it was going to happen. He was going to do it. And yet he said, but when you are corrected, when you repent, turn and strengthen your brothers. It was that very love that he expressed there and demonstrated is the very love that he is working through us. As Claire was saying, that you know, we are so focused right now on this sanctification process because it fits with that very thing that you were talking about Judas in the room, that Judas was even known by Jesus. Jesus picked him and knew he was a devil, and he was for a purpose, for the very purpose of facilitating his betrayal in order for him to be crucified. That same love of motivation was was functioning within him, his nature. And it just kind of hit me that is the very love that he is bringing out of us. That's the very love that took him, that he walked and endured and died upon the cross. That very life of sacrifice, that love for that gives his life for the benefit of his of those that he loves. And I just thought it was interesting. I never thought about that before. You mentioned about when he commanded, you know, told Judas to leave, do what you've been called for, leave. And then after that, the body was cleansed and pure. And then he said, now I'm glorified, you know. And that whole glorification, just an example of that sanctification process. And I'll just shut up after this, but it's for that sanctification process that we're all going through is for a purpose, for an end result of perfection. And some of the verses you were going through was that it was talking about being perfected in love. That is the perfection of that life within us, that completeness, that removal of that which opposes Christ in that complete fullness of Christ. And I believe it's to that end that the Lord is bringing us, so that when these crowds come in, when the revival hits, we'll be able to, which was a nice example that Claire gave in that dream. Right now we're tending to want to just keep cleaning and, you know, you guys, you know, we throw a nugget out there or two, but we're really not prepared to go the full gamut here, you know, to do what is necessary to love that person into the kingdom. I know I say that with a little bit of hesitation, because I know we all would desire to do that, but yet there's a hesitancy that, you know, am I really ready for this? Do I have the full package here? Am I ready? Am I prepared to do that? And so, you know, but when it happens, when the Lord does that and brings this process to its perfected completion, whatever that means for him and for us. God has an idea, a picture, or the end result. He has it in his mind. He knows exactly where he's got to take us, to where we will be in that particular state of his nature, his presence, or whatever, in order to make that happen, so that we're comfortable to respond and react in love, the love of Christ. And then it will be natural. It will be comfortable that we'll be able to accomplish that because we are functioning in love. So it's a very absolutely perfect topic. I appreciate you your teaching. It kind of set the wheels in motion for me. So thank you.
Amen. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to say, Isaac, because you raised it, that even with your accent, your pronunciation of the Greek was just perfect. And two, who appointed me the expert on Greek pronunciation?
Amen.
You're a Greek and Hebrew guy, man. You're the ones that you're quick with it.
Okay, I'll have to fake it till I make it then.
Amen. Amen. All right, go ahead, Joe.
I think that was a brilliant message. The part outstanding for me was that when you talk about Jesus took a chop and put it in a morsel in a bucket, in a soup, what you call this. Okay, but my message was, or my big understanding, sorry, but I'm thinking too much, but what I want to say is, when Jesus was everybody's feet, including Judas, he loves everybody. Now, when he put that soap in, he tells him, and what he didn't say is, I give everybody the bread of life, but to Judas, you, I only give him a morsel, and then I'm going to alter it. So that's awesome. Thanks for the message.
Great, great point. Thank you, Joe. That was awesome. Thank you.
All right, go ahead, Michelle.
Hi.
Hello.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was really, really good. I was debating saying something because it feels like it's too big of a story to even comment. So I think I'll just summarize it and saying, I was a prodigal, and I walked away from the Lord when I was in high school after really experiencing and encountering his love and just being so on fire. And, you know, once I tasted of the love of God at 14, I was like, this is all that matters. I just want God. Nothing mattered but that, until I met Sam a few years later. And began to struggle with sin, and I backslid. So I became an alcoholic. And as I began to the Lord began to restore my life, what I want to say, it's a big, long story I don't want to get into, but he used a very special man that was, I called him Jesus with skin on. And we were going to be married. And everybody who knew Steve said, Steve saw me with the eyes of God. He saw my essence. And that's what he did for me too, even though I was his fiance and it was, you know, it was a romantic relationship. It was unusual, in that sense, but, God used him to bring me back. I had turned back to God, but I was still like inwardly addicted and in bondage And I just couldn't seem to get free. I can't, you know, I'd go a while and then I would go and get drunk. And I always would say the demons would take over. I had so much self-hatred inside of me. But as I opened up to Steve's love, I began to realize that I began to recognize and remember the love of Abba Father. And as I began to open up my heart and trust, because I'd push him away and I was angry and I didn't feel lovable. And you know, sin just blinds us. I was completely blinded to the loving God that I had known as a child. I couldn't remember him. I thought he was mad at me and I thought he was harsh. And I thought, you know, all the lies that prodigals believe, but it was that love that began to just all of the darkness, all of the addiction in me, all of the unrest just began to get quiet. You know that scripture that says he will quiet us with his love. And I lost all desire to get drunk. That demon just got completely loved out of me as I just began to rest in the peace of God. You know, God's love is perfect peace. And he ended up dying in a car accident. But you know, God used even his death for me to re-encounter. You know, when you harden your heart to the Holy Spirit, it's bad. It's really bad. I didn't do it willfully. I didn't do it quickly. I did it very, very slowly. And then I began running to quiet my conscience. I saw the cross again. I saw the love of God in light of my unfaithfulness and my sin, and really just not willfully again, but you know, I trashed the Lord with my sin, and it just broke me. It just broke my heart. And so I'm getting too into the story because it's very complex, but just to say Jesus in heaven and eternity when he died. And I had a revelation of the love of God in him. And the Lord told me, he said, this is what it's all about. He said, this is how I'm saving the world. Love, every Christian having the love of Jesus and going into the world. And Steve saw through all the junk. He saw through my bitterness. He didn't react to it. He didn't call me out on my junk. He looked past it and he saw me with the eyes. I was encountering God through him. And so I believe that that's what we embody, that redeeming love as believers. And so that's kind of what he showed me, was like, that's the fullness of what a mature Christian looks like. They're going to love, when we love people that are hating us, it's the fullest revelation of the cross, because that's what God did for us when we were sinners. He loved us and gave his life for us. So loving those that are hating us in this hour, those that are, you know, with the Spirit, as the Spirit is, you know, giving us the grace as we're growing in that, that is just so powerful. It points to the cross and people see Jesus, and I saw Jesus in Steve. And he made God very, very, very real. And even though he died, my faith grew. Even though he died, it was a tragedy, but my faith grew because God became more real to me. So I just wanted to say that. I hope that wasn't a little too complex there. But thank you so much. I just love this teaching and really encouraging. Yeah, thanks.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Michelle. All right. Yeah, Carol.
Isaac, I was really blessed. And I had such a mixed emotion almost from the very beginning when you started speaking. I couldn't comprehend in my head at all, but my heart was just quivering. And so I started like paying attention to the Lord saying, what are you saying? And he was just, I felt like he was saying, well, one, I was being blessed by a man speaking the love of God over us. So I was like, okay, I'm super thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless Isaac. But Isaac, I really felt like the Lord was just, I truly think, wow, I'm still there. I think he was so proud of you. You were like this beautiful, there was like a little boy I was seeing, and you had these baskets filled with life for each and every person here tonight. It was like you did this homework and it was everywhere, and you had one for everybody, and in it had the flavors and the tastes and the food, the manna, the joy for each individual here tonight. So bless you. God bless you. And thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I'd just like to say that, when you have someone that comes to the Lord, really, like my son, and he starts having conversations with you, things that you reminded of when you were at that stage, and it's the love of God, and he actually even said once, I'm reminded of some of the things you used to say to me before I was saved to that, and so God's putting a recognition, his word in it too now, that he loves him, and he's going to show him things now. And it does emphasize that word where it says, well, no word of God shall be void of power. And that power is his love. And it's starting to come to him now. And I just hope he gets a lot from the Lord and really quickly. Yeah. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? I was going through my notebook a while ago, and I was just stopped here. And I believe the Lord wants me to read this. It's about love. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love one to another. Is God not able to take possession of the heart of his child? Is not God able in his mighty power, as God, to come into the heart of his child and to give his love and his spirit? Is God not able to open a fountain of love so that in all our daily conversation, it will be love, love, love flowing out unceasingly? Is God not able? I believe he is. If our hearts were filled with God's love, how easy it would be to live to his glory. If we had the infinite love of God dwelling in us, it would give us a wonderful tenderness, gentleness, meekness, and humility in dealing with people. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that for each and every one of us, that we walk in this gentleness, this tenderness, and this meekness and humility with other people at all times. And we thank you, Father, for residing inside of us and teaching us to walk like you did, Lord. It is an awesome message of love that we heard tonight, spoken to all of your people, Father. And I know that Isaac knows this, but there's a lot of people out there that'll hear this that aren't on this broadcast, and we praise you for it, Father, that it'll be a blessing to them as well. Amen. Thank you, Father. Anybody else got something they'd like to say?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Thanks for your time and message, brother. You know, there's a scripture that comes to me too, brother, that's very vital, you know, because, you know, I know the word. Love casteth out all fear. But I remember incrementally in times of my life, you know, where I wanted to love, but I just couldn't love. I knew I was supposed to love, but I was so broken and full of fear and had rejections and all that stuff. And anyway, that was my early 20s. As I came through now, coming to being 57, what I began to learn is I began to grow in this love experientially. That's what started healing me and casting out them fears I had of rejection. And so it's another reminder, brother, you know, of coming to know this love, our first love. You know, that's one of the things, too, that the Lord mentioned. He said, for I have one thing against thee, you have forgotten your first love. Repent, therefore, and go back to that love. You know, so thank you, brother. And I just, you'll be in my prayers too, because in my life today, brother, being reminded of that, that's really all I wanted is when I look back, even as a child, is that love. That love, man, the love of a father. Because, see, when I was 3 years old, they came in, the cops, and took my dad out of the kitchen at 3 years old. He went to prison for 15 years. You know, so especially that love of a father, man, my heart was so broken. So anyway, my brother, peace and love tonight. And thanks for that message, brother.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Well, I will say this, Isaac. This is the largest crowd we've had. So, boy, you draw a crowd, too. Word got out. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Dave.
I would like to pray for us on this, so especially when it comes for the love of God. Now, this is a very good teaching because it touches on who God is. And some of these attributes of God we're coming into with the Lord, and we're claiming by faith that we have these things. But sometimes if we fall short, like William is talking about in life, and we've all fallen short of the Lord, of the love of God and how we express ourselves with others. And I do want to say that if that has happened, and we all probably have fallen short there, if you confess it, it's under the blood. That's the love of God. All right. That is the love of God. But it's also the love of God that he wants to create in us that new image of who he is, which is his son, which is love. So I like to pray that for us so that we can move forward with that in our life. And if we still need more of that love, which I'm sure we all do, and that more of the filling of the Holy Spirit, the more of Jesus, so we can have that life of God, which we all want. So Father, we know this is an important thing that you desire all of us to have, because you say of the love of the world is in us, the love of God is not. And we don't want to be like the world. We want to have that love that you wanted to set forth in us from the beginning of creation. So, Father, we repent of anything that has not been love and expressed your love, because we came from a fallen nature. We know where we came from, but we're claiming by the blood of Christ that we've got this renewed nature, and we're going to believe by faith that you're going to give us that, and you're going to cleanse us from all these things. So we're going to confess where we failed in this regard. We definitely maybe failed. A lot of us had troubles with this, and we did not love the way you like to have love come out from us in the image of Jesus. And if we failed, Lord, we confess that, Cindy, right now. but we claim the blood of Christ. We claim the forgiveness, and we claim the newness of life in Christ, that redemption, that restoration through Jesus that we've all got. Thank you, Father, for that. And we trust and have faith and love you for what you're doing for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Go ahead, Geneva. Here comes the criticism back.
I was going to say, well, yes, you did okay. I'll give you a 7 out of 10. I'm just kidding. I was expecting a revelation of the Chinese buffet. So
that's too much meat for you. A lot of General Tso's on that one.
Oh, good. That's funny. Anyways, what I was going to say was I was talking to Mom and actually today, and which you all know that me and Isaac, we kind of have a, this, you know, it's been a little rough with Mom in the past and just with everything. And anyways, I know that the Lord is really producing his fruit through Isaac and just love, because Mom told me Isaac called her, you know, the other day, and they were talking, and she was like, I just really felt loved. So, you know, just hearing all this and everything, it's like, I know that the Lord is really just doing something. And I was listening to Mom, and I was like, all right, Mom, well, you know, I'm glad. Make sure you call him more, you know. But anyways, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's awesome that, you know, everyone's so encouraging, that we're all talking about all this stuff. And even people that, like even our own mom, it's kind of put us through, well, the demons that she is delivered of in Jesus' name, that have definitely persecuted us. You know, the fact that she could even say that today, like that she feels loved, and, you know, that just Isaac talking to her and everything made her feel loved. And it's just, I don't know, it's just awesome. I don't know if any of that made sense, but anyways, yeah.
Yeah, it does. For you, those of you who don't know, Geneva and Isaac are brother and sister. Isaac says, no, nope, it ain't working. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, no. yeah, we're brother and sister. She's the older one. You can tell.
I'm your brother.
Let the beatings begin.
So I'll just say this real quick. Yeah, that's cool that you brought that up, Geneva. I was just gonna say to everybody, you know, thank y'all for y'all's prayers. When y'all prayed with me about all that, my mom and all that, because the trial was more, I felt, for me, and something I learned, and I felt that's why the Lord wanted me to do this message, is that sometimes you really understand love through persecution. And, you know, I just wanted to talk to her, and so I called her. I'll say this, man, I tell you what, she seemed a lot different. She really did. And I really mean it. I haven't heard that side from her. She actually was asking questions about me and my life, and y'all's prayers, I'm going to tell you, they are true and they have happened. And, you know, it was refreshing. And she told me she was sorry for everything she'd done to me and that she should have never done any of it. And I said, Mama, don't matter. It's fine. It's okay, because that's what Lord wanted to do to me. And he wanted me to bring me into that. And it's okay. And I tell you what, thank y'all for y'all's prayers. That really means a lot to me.
Man, I guess I better unmute myself. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else before we close out? Well, all right. Next week, we have that purveyor of good news coming on. And Father, we thank you for giving him the words to say and the wisdom to say the things that you want him to say, and to be led by your Spirit, Lord. fill Justin up with your spirit and your wisdom, Father, during this week ahead. And we thank you, Father, that, you know, Lord, it's just been awesome. All of these men coming in here and sharing the message that they've given, and they've all been different, but they've all been excellent. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you for working in each and every one of them, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody tonight's going to get a good night's sleep, even the little ones, all night long, David. Amen. And Alina. Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And David and Samuel and Tiana's David going to sleep all night, too. Yeah, there he is. Bless him. Oh, look, he's already snoozing. Glory to God. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for blessing everybody else here and exploding this bunch with love in the next little bit, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all of these wonderful brothers and sisters of mine. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless them all in the days ahead. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all. God bless you.